This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Downtown Covington is now hopping with new businesses and entertainment and apartment buildings. But one aspect of a thriving city is somewhat missing there. The city struggles with litter and a cohesive marketing strategy, with multiple groups often serving the same purpose. The Covington Business Council is pushing for a business improvement district, which would include fees for commercial property owners to create a fund to provide additional services. Will it work this time after stalling a few years back? And what can Covington learn from a similar program in downtown Cincinnati? Let's talk about it. Joining Cincinnati Edition, our Covington Business Council Executive Director, Pat Frew. Welcome, Pat.
Thanks, Michael.
Northern Kentucky Convention and Visitors Bureau, Meet NKY, President and CEO Eric Summey. He's also on the CBC board. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you.
And 3CDC Stakeholder Services Specialist, Kate Douglas. 3CDC and Downtown Cincinnati, Inc. are now operating together. Kate was part of DCI previously. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you very much.
Join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. I first want to disclose that I am a downtown Covington business owner. I own the River City newspaper, which is on the 600 block of Madison Avenue. I'm not the owner of the property, so I'm a tenant. So I've got some questions about tenants and such. And I'm also holding up an article that I wrote about cigarette butts in Covington, because this is something that the city announced that it was going to be taking more seriously. This is a problem in the urban part of Covington, the downtown area, Main Strasse Village. If you're walking around down there, a lot of the tree banks, a lot of the street gutters, a lot of the sidewalks are full of cigarette butts. And this is one piece, Pat,
right,
of what this proposed district would facilitate. And I want to get into that, but let's start with this. This is the second time the Covington Business Council has tried to get a business improvement district going. Explain to us what exactly this thing is.
Okay, so the way to look at a business improvement district, it's money that you are putting towards very specific purposes as opposed to taxes. That's why we call this an assessment. So there are usually an array of services that are offered in exchange for this assessment that creates a pool of reliable money that can be used to, you know, clean up your downtown or do anything that will help elevate property values and beautify a downtown area. And so that's essentially what an improvement district is. There are all kinds of acronyms. BID is only one of them. So
okay, so who pays it?
Property owners, commercial property owners in our case. We also are collecting petitions from nonprofits as well as a handful of residents that live in that area, places like The Ascent across from River Center and some other smaller property owners. But they will not be obligated to pay the assessment. Only the commercial property owners will be asked to do that. So,
and then there's certain percentages of the value of the commercial property represented and other math involved in how this thing gets executed. Explain that to us.
Right. In Kentucky, and I think it's different in Ohio, but in Kentucky, it's 51%, a simple majority of the property owners. And in our case, it's all three of those areas, commercial, residential, and nonprofit. And then we have to have 51% of the total value. If you would add together all the values, whatever the total value of property is within that zone, we have to get a simple majority of that. But our goal, at least for the raw numbers and trying to get a majority of property owners, we're trying to do much better than that. So
you could, for example, have 51% of the property owners, but they could own all the least expensive properties, and that would not be enough.
And it could fail if you don't have the bigger property owners included in among the signatures.
Okay. And once you get that, once you have those agreements from those necessary numbers, does the city have to approve anything?
Yes. So then the city must approve the district. And then actually on an annual basis, this group, which would not be the CBC, this would create a separate entity outside of the Covington Business Council with its own board comprised of property owners of varying sizes. Our proposal calls for seven, I think, members of the board. And they would go before the city actually to get the district approved. But then on an annual basis, they would have to present a plan that the city would need to approve along with the budget for that.
Okay, so the improvement district in Cincinnati is called Downtown Cincinnati, Inc., or at least was at one point. Mm-hmm. What would this one be called in Covington?
I don't know.
Come on, you've gotten this far, at least. I mean, that was a softball.
Yeah, I'll have to get back to you on that one. I don't remember exactly the legal.
Okay, but I mean, what would the branding be? I mean, how would people know to refer to it?
Yeah, so what we've done so far in branding it is calling it CovNow, and we have a website called covnow.org that lists all of the specific attributes of what this bid would do, how it would affect property owners. If they wanted to come up with some other type of formal name or slogan down the road, that the board could do that for the improvement district.
Okay, so Cove Now, but Cove Then wasn't so enthusiastic about the proposal. There was pushback from some businesses, mm-hmm. concern from some city officials over the evolution of the boundaries. The map had changed on what would be included. Share some of those concerns and how you tried to address them this time around.
Sure. There were, in the past, as you elaborated, there was property value, there was front footage, there was a third requirement. So there were three numbers that you had to add together. In some people's mind, that was too complicated. Sometimes when people see that, they think you're trying to be complicated for deceptive purposes.
That third number was related to the amount of space they occupied on the street level?
Yeah, there was a frontage, there was square footage, and then there was property value. Those were the three numbers that we...
That would directly impact the amount they paid.
Right. And the last time we averaged out what a property owner would pay, and at that point it was about $230 average property owner, and now it's about $170. So now we're just going with the straight property value, and it's 10 cents for every dollar. So equating that out, if you had a $125,000 property, you'd pay $125 a year. So to your point before, too, I think a couple other things were issues. So there was the complicated formula. Then I think the map was a little bit, in some people's mind, not square. And I think people kind of objected to that. And the third thing was, when you think back to 2012, Covington is, thank goodness, not now where it was. So we might have been a little bit ahead of ourselves there in trying to get the district approved. And people said, well, we're not sure we can take full advantage of this because economically we're not exactly where we want to be. Then came Braxton Brewery, then came Hotel Covington. All the developments going on over in Mainstross, even though Mainstross is not in the district. So, you know, basically $200 million of investment in the last 5 or 6 years. And that's part of the reason why we're doing this now. We think the timing is much, much better.
Okay, I'm going to get Kate and Eric into this in just a moment, but one more for Pat.
Sure.
Because you did just reference this, that Mainstross Village is not included in
right.
this district. So what does the map look like this time?
Essentially, the areas that are covered, Michael, are the Central Business District, Roebling Point, over there by Keystone, Molly Malone's, River Center, you know, the towers in and around where the Convention Center is and the Convention Bureau, and then the riverfront area, also famously known in some people's minds as Hamburger Heaven or you know,
the fast food district by the interstate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like everything around Mainstross, but not Mainstross. Why?
Right. We talked to a lot of the property owners in Mainstross, and, you know, they were fresh off the dissolution of the Village Association in Mainstross, their merchants group. And a lot of those businesses in Mainstross are restaurants, and they're focused on the day-to-day of their business. And so, in my opinion, I just don't think there was a great appetite for it. And if we're going to be successful the second time around, we need enthusiastic supporters, because if people are just kind of nonchalant about this and not excited about it, you know, a wave of people can actually cause this to be defeated. You know, so we did not see the widespread support, and we didn't want to force it on an area that wasn't ready for it and didn't see all the potential benefit of it.
Well, I should point out that the main focus of that article I referenced at the top of this interview, where all the cigarette butts are troubling the city Mainstrasse, Main Street in particular, was the one that they said was pretty much the filthiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Eric, you serve two purposes here today because you're on the CBC board and you're also head of the Convention and Visitors Bureau in Northern Kentucky.
Right.
Why do you think the city needs a bid?
Well, excuse me. My connection with this in representing the Bureau really started with trying to create a vibrant destination for our visitors. And many of the themes that the Covenant Business Council embraces, which they have been basically confirmed by the membership, are common themes to what we try to do in order to make the visitor experience in Covington outstanding. So my interest was also back in 2012. I worked a little bit at the time. I was new to the Bureau. But I agree with the discussion thus far. Things have really progressed, Hotel Covington in particular, and some of the other businesses that were created from that nexus. But I think that when we did a survey back a couple years ago, and we asked the membership what they saw our role as a Covington Business Council, and they named some very important things, Michael. They talked about marketing, branding, wayfinding, advocacy, small business support, and then bits building connections within, for our purposes, the four entertainment centers of Covington, which does include Mainstrasse. So we felt like this was something that we could really get on board with, and being a board member of the CBC at the time, we were full in. So, you know, I think that what was really important to us is to see in what people thought the value that the CBC created really dovetailed into what a bid would provide. These are services over and above essential services, and they're things that when we did the survey, many of the people we talked to said, these are things we're willing to pay for. And we saw it as kind of a transformation of where Covington was then and where it is now.
Kate, the city of Cincinnati has Downtown Cincinnati, Inc., and it has since 1994, so about 25 years. Why was it first proposed in Downtown Cincinnati? What did people see at the time that triggered this?
And so the official name of the improvement district is the Downtown Cincinnati Improvement District, or DCID. And improvement districts are so vital to the success of a downtown area. In the suburbs, you have office parks and malls and so those like lifestyle centers that are managed essentially by one entity. And they maintain the beautification of the space. They market their merchants. They provide extra safe and clean efforts. A downtown area is very different, and it is crucial that there is some kind of mechanism involved to provide those safe and clean beautification and welcoming services for downtown.
Does the Downtown Improvement District operate the way, or at least similarly to the way that Pat described the Covington one would? There's an additional fee assessed on commercial property owners?
Exactly. A different calculation, and there's specific calculations for Ohio. But yes, it has essentially the same function, providing those services that go above and beyond what the city will provide. And that is based on a property tax assessment. Yes.
Was there concern back in 1994? I know you weren't working there at the time, but what do you know about the history? Was there pushback from people who were concerned about this additional tax, really, or this additional fee on top of everything else that they're already paying in these prime locations?
No, I believe when DCI was founded in 1994, the first services plan was approved by the property owners in 97. So that outlines all of those essential programs and services that the new district would provide. And then since then, the district has been renewed 5 times. It gets renewed every 4 years. And for our district, you have to have a minimum of 60% of the front footage within the district to sign the petition. So the minimum is 60%, and we average around close to 80% every time, which is really great. And I think that really shows the support of the residents, the business community, and the property owners, and really see the value in what we do for downtown.
Our conversation on a proposed business improvement district in downtown Covington and how it would compare to the one in downtown Cincinnati will continue after this short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Can Covington be cleaner and better promoted? That would be the goal if a proposed business improvement district is implemented in the city's downtown, which is experiencing a significant renaissance. Let's continue now with our guest, Covington Business Council Executive Director Pat Frew, Northern Kentucky Convention and Visitors Bureau Meet NKY President and CEO Eric Summey, he's also on the CBC board, and 3CDC Stakeholder Services Specialist Kate Douglas. 3CDC and Downtown Cincinnati Inc. are now one. Kate was part of Downtown Cincinnati Inc. previously. 513-419-7100 is the number to call if you've got questions about this or want to comment about it. Talk at WVXU.org is our email, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets. Eric, you lead a regional entity, the Northern Kentucky Convention and Visitors Bureau, right? Three counties part of this, Boone, Kenton, and Campbell. So Northern Kentucky leaders are often talking about regionalism and how often local governments will work well together, regardless of whether there are too many local governments. But this bid, this seems like it would add another quasi-governmental entity into the region. And I'm curious about why there's not been a public conversation that if a business improvement district is desired, why not one that includes Covington and Newport, for example? Why not one that attempts to link all of the Northern Kentucky River cities so that there's a sense of cohesion and uniformity in presentation?
Yeah, I would agree with that on principle. I think that, you know, looking at the number of cities that we have in our three counties of Boone, Campbell, and Kenton, the last count I had was 37 cities, which is a lot.
Yeah, so, try going to the council meetings, buddy.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And of course, our entity, as you alluded to, is strictly county. We're the only multi-county convention visitors bureau in the Commonwealth. I think what you're suggesting, Michael, is an excellent idea.
Well, there we go.
Yep. But but I think, you know, looking at the logistics and mechanics of doing that is probably good, where this particular interest that we have right now, particularly from the Bureau standpoint, really centers around where our convention center is located. And the fact that Covington and its need for vibrancy and marketing and support of small business really plays into what we do in bringing conventions to Northern, or to particularly to Covington, but also to Northern Kentucky.
And so, Pat, earlier Eric referenced this survey that the CBC, the Covington Business Council, put out and got some feedback from people who wanted to see some cleanliness, some marketing, some wayfinding. And just before we went on the show, just before this show started today, I got another press release from the Chamber of Commerce in Northern Kentucky and the Catalytic Fund working together on wayfinding. Mm-hmm. And so we have those on the way. We have South Bank Partners wayfinding signs. We have the city's individual wayfinding signs. You have Renaissance Covington that does certain things in the city of Covington. I mean, is there room for all of this? It seems that all of these organizations are not on the same page, moving in the same direction. Because if you do go down Madison Avenue, you see a variety of different messaging, different branding. It's not cohesive. It's not unified. Who's going to have to go if this thing comes through?
Well, I think there's room for all. I think the thing you're talking about with the Chamber and the Catalytic Fund, that's specific to this event. I do think you need conformity and unanimity in creating wayfinding and signage and things like that.
It is for the bourbon barrel event, or it's a series of bourbon barrels that will help people find the bourbon festival that's coming in the fall.
Right.
But again, this is in Covington and Newport, and it's not the CBC doing it. It's the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce working with the Catalytic Fund. So what I'm saying is that there is an opportunity for some serious confusion about who's doing what in this city.
Right. Right. And as I said earlier, I think uniformity is important. And I think, there is such a thing as collaboration and also staying in one's lanes. I don't have a problem with this announcement that the chamber made. I know that they're all in promoting this conference. It's going to benefit Eric and the people that are part of, you know, the Convention Bureau. So it's going to be a great event. But also, I'd like to expand upon your earlier point where you were talking about why not make this bigger? Why not include Newport in areas like that? There are opportunities to do that, to grow this not only even inside of Covington, but along the riverfront in Newport. And if we're successful at getting one started, you know, you don't want to bite off more than you can chew. And I think that there has to be a big enough area so that there can be an impact, but a small enough area so that cost is not too much of a consideration and people don't just cross it off the list because of that.
You know, you could recognize Downtown Cincinnati Inc. folks, mm-hmm. Kate, they would have, I believe, yellow shirts.
Well, right? Now we just launched a new branding, so they're in bright green. All of our downtown ambassadors are in bright green shirts.
But downtown yes. ambassadors, exactly. And this is a group of people that, are they paid employees? Or mm-hmm. They're paid employees. Yep. They're working downtown. They can help guide people to places, yes. you know, and they're easily identifiable, which is mm-hmm. A novel concept on the south side of the river, it would appear. And I think that when you're having the impact of this bourbon festival that's coming up in the fall, by the way, a week before or after, I may have this mixed up, before Blink yeah. is now coming back, and that's right. going to be the in Covington as mm-hmm. well. Right. So you're going to have two weekends in a row with a ton of people, possibly more people than we've ever seen, mm-hmm. visiting the south side of the Ohio River. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be great to have downtown ambassadors in identifiable shirts, not just on that weekend, yeah. but always, Eric?
Yeah, it would be outstanding. I mean, this is one of the services. I mean, certainly what Kate alluded to is something that most of the cities that we observed have a similar type of an offering, and it's very successful. And these are the type of services that go over and above essential services. And what when we get back this survey, Michael, a lot of the folks that we interviewed and entered into a dialogue with said it's a service worth paying for. So we think that, you know, building on the momentum of this, the timing is right to do it. I agree with Pat. We probably should, you know, keep this specific to Covington and see where it takes us. No other city has a bid in Northern Kentucky that we're aware of.
And we have a group that's on the street 7 days a week, Tag Team Graffiti, that picks up litter, removes graffiti. We did have them out during the All-Star game a couple years ago and you may remember, we had a big push for cleanup to make sure that Riverfront was looking great. I think it's also important to note that if we're not successful with this improvement district, that's going to go away. And I think it's going to be left up to the city to try to clean up this mess. And cigarette butt stations, which the city is proposing, and it's one possible partial solution, but that's not going to cut it. I think our streets are going to be noticeably dirtier, and that's why we're saying that this needs to happen. I mean, this will be the CBC's second, and in my estimation, final try, at least while I'm at the CBC, because, you know, two times I think is plenty. So,
but you did say that last time, right? Like around, we had you gave a sample of what could happen. The graffiti right. removal people were out, the street cleaners were right. out, and the threat was this goes away if we don't get the bid. It did go away.
It did.
And now it's back, but you don't have the bid. So is this just have you scrounged up some funds to try to whet people's appetite again?
Yeah, we have temporary funds. We've put some of our own money into this, and we've also gotten some money from foundations to pay for this. But you're down there on the street, even with your obligations here, you're there a lot. What did it look like in between? It didn't look great.
There are noticeable improvements when the teams are out. And mm-hmm. but like I said, I mean, you can walk, and I do a lot of walking living in downtown Covington and working there as well. It's dirty.
Yeah.
It's dirty. And the hard part about being a business owner there and someone who's from there is seeing how many visitors we have in Covington now, whether it be at the hotel or Braxton Brewing or any of the new bars and restaurants that are opening up, and thinking, they may be having a good time, but what overall impression? Because Newport doesn't look like that, mm-hmm. and they don't have a bid. And yeah. downtown Cincinnati is very clean. So that's the challenge, I think, is people's impressions mm-hmm. that they're getting. And Kate, we're talking about duplicated services mm-hmm. In Northern Kentucky and the challenge that creates. And in news reports that came out when 3CDC and Downtown Cincinnati Inc. merged, it these articles cited that city and county leaders had said, look, they have a lot of the same mission. They have overlapping services. Was that something that you all felt as organizations that maybe we're doing the same thing here?
It had certainly been something that was discussed for the past few years. And like you said, that came from civic leaders, the corporate leadership, as well as city and county government. So they took a hard look at that and did discover that we do have a lot of overlapping services, and a lot of efficiencies and opportunities could be realized if the two agencies merged. And it's going really well. We just released a 6-month kind of update to our stakeholders, just kind of describing our improvements to Safe and Clean and some outreach programming to address panhandling and homelessness. So it's been going really well so far. We're really happy with it.
And the State of Downtown Cincinnati report came out this year. It cited that more than half of downtown jobs are high wage, while less than 20% are low wage. The downtown area is livable and walkable. Of course, it has more specifics than just those adjectives. But have you all kept data then on the trends from, say, 1994 to current and analyzed what impact this assessment district has had on those successes?
Sure. And I think the most telling story is just the crime data. The crime has gone down significantly. And even recently, we get regular reports from the Central Business Section police. And it's gone down an average of property crimes have gone down just in the Central Business District 24% compared to the same time last year. And that trend seems to be continuing, and we're really happy with that. And that's a really close relationship that we have with our police department. A lot of our ambassadors carry radios that are connected to the police department. So really, they serve as the eyes and ears of the police downtown and can really assist them in their work, as well as the Safe and Clean and Beautiful services. And that's vital. And the property owners really see the value in that.
We got an email from Sarah. She wants to know what happens to residents in these areas once prices start going up and they can no longer afford to stay due to property taxes. And let me expand upon her question, Pat and Eric, because downtown Covington is better than it was a decade ago in terms of, I guess, people, people who are coming down, mass attraction of folks. But it's still rather fragile, and it is fledgling, particularly when it comes to retail. So if these costs that these property owners are going to pay are then passed on to the tenants, the businesses, and then rents increase, couldn't this have a negative impact on the occupancy rate?
I mean, I guess it could at first, but I mean, again, this is creating demand. More people are coming downtown. You're providing services that are valuable to people. I mean, you know, DCI, 3CDC, would be interesting to see what Kate had to say in terms of how that affected property values. Things go up, but, you know, you're paying a premium to be in a vibrant, growing area. And that's what these districts, you know, have done. My fear is, you know, if the CBC doesn't do this, if it's not successful this time, will it ever happen? Because I don't know who's going to step up, you know, to take the reins of that.
So what's next? I mean, what do you do now? You're still collecting signatures, but how quickly can we expect some form of legislative action at the city to see whether this comes?
Well, we'd like to do it as quickly as possible. The last time it did kind of drag out over a year, well over a year period, and we don't see that happening. But we hope within a matter of months, and we're getting signatures returned to us in the mail every day. We had 4 or 5 in today's mail. So, you know, we are making progress there, but I would say, you know, sometime this year.
And Kate, you are part of an organization, an assessment district that's been around since the mid-1990s with some evidence of success. What's your advice to Eric and Pat as they move forward and try to implement a successful business improvement district of their own?
I think they're already doing it. It's a lot about just having those close relationships with your property owners, the residents, the business owners. I serve on the board of the Downtown Residents Council. I'm very engaged with them. They're a great group to work with. And then keeping those businesses and property owners engaged and feeling like they're really involved in the decisions that the district makes as well. We have regular meetings we have sector groups. We have a Safe and Clean committee that meets every month. So that's people from the police department, Keep Cincinnati Beautiful, public services, all of those kind of stakeholders that can really get things done when they have issues arise downtown.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. When you talked about crime before, I've been part of those sector meetings and seen them firsthand. And I think that really helps, you know, from a safety standpoint to make the area safer because people are spreading the word about individuals that may be causing problems and seeing trends. And that's what would happen here in Covington. I think we would have similar sector groups that would meet on a regular basis, would talk about issues that all revolve around the biggest investment that they're making in Covington, and that's property. And that's why this improvement district needs to happen.
Our thanks to Pat Frew, Eric Summey, and Kate Douglas for joining us today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.